joining us on the line from London. Good morning, Jacqueline McNay.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah, going very, very well. We're starting to get a bit excited over here. The World Cup is probably, what, 7 or 8 days away?
Well, yes, and the Australian team's in town. They're embedded down on the coast down near Southampton, and they're getting ready to play a bit of a friendly on the weekend. Some big money at stake here, actually. The prize money was announced, $10 million for the ICC World Cup. $4 million, this is US dollars, prize money to the winner. And when they win each match, $40,000 US dollars. They make it past the round robin stage, $100,000. So obviously that would be split amongst some of the players, and I'm not exactly sure how Cricket Australia divides all that prize money, but they'll be looking to perhaps get a little bit of that. Although Joe Root, the England captain, was saying that they believe that they are the favourites and that they're looking forward to this competition. They're in hot form, of course, just having won the series against Pakistan. So, and they're on home turf, of course, too, which helps things. And there's a lot of interest in Australia, of course, concerning David Warner and Steve Smith, and this will be their first big international test. And there's already quite a bit of ribbing going on. There's an advertisement by a beer company that refers to sandpaper. I'm sure there's going to be the first of many sandpaper jibes that we'll see over the coming weeks. And the Australian team has a psychologist on tour. And Justin Langer was saying we need to put an arm around them, meaning David Warner and Steve Smith, to protect them from what could be some quite hostile crowd reaction to them.
Oh, I'm sure they're ready for it. How they respond will be the interesting part of that. Jack, speaking of how you respond to taunting, Nick Kyrgios now, for every person that says, that's it, I'm all done with Nick Kyrgios, you'll find someone who says, no, come on, cut him some slack. So the speculation is he's been baited, but that goes with the territory when you're Nick Kyrgios, right?
Well, it doesn't take much debating, does it? Todd Woodbridge has been the latest person came out and said, you know, he's blaming the team around Nick Kyrgios that they didn't protect him from doing a media interview where he made some quite inflammatory remarks about Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal, and that he feels that situation then led to this frustration by Nick Kyrgios against Kasparov, and where he was throwing the chair and making some quite hostile comments to the umpire. He will be playing in Queens. Of course, he's a big crowd pleaser, or he attracts the crowds because people are quite interested to see, you know, which Nick Kyrgios is going to turn up, the one that tanks or the one that throws the dummy spit. you know, we very rarely actually see him play a game and to his full potential. So it's just very frustrating for everybody involved, I think, and more so within the tennis circuit. They're getting a little bit weary of what's going on with Nick Kyrgios.
Does he have a good relationship with Roger Federer? Because I noticed in his spat the other day, he had a crack at Djokovic and he had a crack at Nadal, but there was no mention of Roger.
No, he gets on very well with Roger Federer. But one of his closest colleagues on the tour is Andy Murray, surprisingly. And now that Andy Murray has been sidelined with his hip surgery and he's recovering, Nick Kyrgios has actually made comment about how much he misses Andy Murray on the circuit and that he's a very good influence on him and provides him with a great someone to talk to about various things. But talking about Andy Murray, it looks like he will team up with Jamie Murray for Queen's Tennis Tournament, not for Wimbledon. Jamie has said no, he's not in good enough shape to be playing Wimbledon, but it looks like that he may come back on the court for Queen's, and that will be quite an amazing sight to see, because in January, of course, he was given all the eulogies and valedictories that, you know, he was going to retire. But he's never said that. Andy Murray's always hoped that he could come back. So this will be a really big test to see how his hip has recovered and how he recovers from playing at quite high level.
Sir Andy, if you will. Thanks, Jacqueline.
Did you see the tweet by his mum who put out this tweet of him dressed in armour? He's now a knight.
Knight of the Realm. So congratulations to Sir Andy on that one. That's an unlikely pairing, isn't it? Nick Kyrgios and Andy Murray. Israel Folau turned his back on rugby in Australia. We know that. He won't play here. Do you think there's English / European clubs that are lining up for Israel Folau at all, Jacqueline?
Well, they're a little bit hesitant because players that have come out in support of Israel Folau have been sanctioned. So they perhaps don't want to take on a player that they could find is sidelined down the track and pay big money for him when he then turns out that he won't be playing because he gets sanctioned. It could come down to the World Rugby, whether they get involved and decide, well, if he's banned by one member state, then he cannot play for another member state. Now, they have not made a ruling on that yet. It'll be interesting to see whether they do. And it all could come down to whether Israel Folau goes to the civil courts and takes this, you know, Australian rugby on in the civil courts and tries to, you know, defend his right to play. And I think everybody's just watching to see what the courts may decide on that matter.
Mm. Man City, while they won the EPL, they missed out in the, you know, obviously in the Champions League, but they've also lost their captain along the way.
Yeah, Vincent Kompany, we talked about this last week. He has left and he's going to be a player manager in Belgium with the Anderlecht team. He announced that just a few hours after the, you know, the big 6-0 win against Watford. They've just had their big team celebration on the bus through the streets of Manchester in the last couple of hours. Manchester is awash in blue. Hundreds of thousands of people have come out to celebrate them. There is this real feeling in Manchester that this team is a team of a generation, that they are now going to be, you know, I mean, under Pep Guardiola, you know, I mean, they've just really, their defence, nobody can get the ball off them, that they are destined to much, much greater things. And Champions League is obviously one of them. If they get to play, that's still to be decided because, of, you know, they're being looked at for some transgressions with player payments, but and sponsored payments. But, I mean, it's such excitement in Manchester City at the moment. And in Manchester, you know, that they've achieved so much this year. So it's really kind of revived the spirits of the town. It's really, you know, this is a country that's been, you know, in the woes of Brexit for so long, and to have such a great football team performing so strongly is just, you know, great uplifting of spirits.
Unless you're a Manchester United fan. But anyway, we won't go there. Good on you, Jack. Appreciate that.
Thanks, guys, and have a great week.